The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, have you ever felt overwhelmed by other people's expectations of you? Well, my guest today knows that feeling all too well. Ruth Graham is the daughter of Reverend Billy and Ruth Graham, and she has walked through some very difficult life situations and felt the pressure of trying to live up to others' expectations of her. As the daughter of a famous evangelist, Ruth went through a lot of things. She will join me in a few minutes, but first, watch this teaching. I'm going to start with a question. What are you worth? Now, you know, normally when somebody asks that question, the first thing we think of is our finances, or maybe our job position, or our accomplishments. In the world, we learn how to tie our worth and value to what we do, but in God's kingdom, He wants us to understand that our worth and value is wrapped up in who we are in Him, not what we do. I'm going to say it again. Your worth and value is not determined by what you do, or the important people you know, or the job title you have, how much education you have. Your worth and value is determined by being a child of God. And I can tell you what you're worth. Every one of you is worth the Son of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish but have everlasting life. You're purchased with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. God paid a tremendous price for you, and you belong to Him. You don't belong to yourself. You may think you do, but in reality, you belong to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for, made His own. So then honor God and bring glory to Him in your body. And I think we might go on to say, and with your life. Are we glorifying God with our life? Are we glorifying God with our lifestyles? Are we glorifying God with our choices and our decisions? Are we glorifying God with our thoughts, with our words, with our choice of entertainment? Can I tell you something? God's not interested in just having a Sunday morning relationship with you. He wants to invade every single area of your life. You know, you can just go sit on a church pew on Sunday morning and just be a miserable saint instead of a miserable sinner. It's one thing to be lost and be miserable. It's another thing to be saved and still be miserable. Surely we can understand that Jesus didn't die so we could be miserable and murmur and complain and grumble all the time, be unhappy, have no peace, worry about everything. He died for us to have a totally different quality of life, and He bought us back from the enemy. I said He bought us back from the enemy. He paid for us, and He bought us back. Now, anything that you have paid for and bought, you have a strong sensing that it's yours. And you really don't want anybody else messing with it. It's yours. You can do what you want to with it. Well, we have been bought and paid for with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We no longer belong to the devil, but the news tonight is you no longer belong to yourself either. Well, now you have free will and you can do anything you want to. I'm not saying that you can't. You can live any kind of life you want to. And you may, you know, live a compromising lifestyle and still squeak into heaven. But you won't be happy. and you won't help the kingdom of God, and you won't be a good witness to other people. But tonight, you can do some turnaround and make some decisions. We all have to come to a crisis point in our life. And maybe some of you have already been at that place and you've made a real serious decision about your walk with God. I believe many of you have, but I'm also well aware that I'm not just talking to the room and people in this room tonight. There are people all over the world watching by television in 80 different languages, and I want to make sure that you know that you really do not belong to yourself. You have been bought with a price, and God expects you to surrender your life to Him. We need to consecrate ourselves to God, and to be consecrated means to be set apart for a special use and a special purpose. You just start letting God have control of your life. Now, it's going to be a fight to start with, I'll tell you that right now, because your flesh is used to ruling things. And how many of you know that our flesh can just really throw some fits? But oh, when you finally make it through, wow, does life get sweet. You don't have to worry. You don't have to compare yourself with other people. You don't have to try to impress people. Your worth and value is not in what you do. You can do what you do for right reasons. You don't have to get upset if you don't do everything perfect all the time, because you belong to somebody that's greater than you are and greater than anybody else out there. So what are you worth? The blood of Jesus Christ. What are you worth? All the death, the misery, the pain that Jesus willingly took on Himself. And He would have done it if you would have been the only person on the earth. That's how much God loves you, and that's how much you're worth. Well, I hope that what you've just heard was very helpful to you. Now, I want you to remember that your worth and value is not determined by what you do, but who you are in Christ. Ruth Graham joins me now to talk more about this subject. Well, Ruth, this whole in Christ phrase, it's one that we understand pretty good now because we've both had to learn who we are in Christ. But you know, I was a Christian for a long time and I never even heard that phrase, nor did I understand it. So I know you've gone through some difficult things in your life. So why don't you share with us about your story?
Well, you don't have enough time, but the Lord to make me aware that I was in Christ and that Christ was in me,
right?
But that I was living my life through Him, but He had to knock off some edges.
Yeah.
And it was not easy, but I married young. I married when I was 18, mm-hmm. which is too young to get married.
Yeah.
And I married a man who became unfaithful. And after 21 years, I divorced him.
Mm-hmm.
And it broke my heart. I'd grown up around honorable men.
Right.
Never dreamed that this would happen to me. Didn't
yeah.
know how to react. Didn't want to tell anybody. I was
right.
ashamed. I
right.
thought I was the one to blame. I hadn't
yeah.
been enough of a wife. I hadn't been a good
right.
lover or whatever. So it took a toll, and then I became depressed.
Yeah.
And nobody in my world had ever been depressed. We weren't allowed to be depressed. You
yeah.
certainly shouldn't go to a counselor. So I was really caught between these things, and I was trying to live up to what everybody thought I mm-hmm. ought to do, be and what I ought to do and be a good mom and a good wife and a good housekeeper and do things
right.
Until it just got too much.
Right.
And I began to think about suicide
mm.
and went home one Sunday after church looking for razor blades.
Wow.
But my husband used an electric razor, thank the Lord. So I didn't find any razor blades, but it was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
I realized I had three very precious children depending on me. And I realized I had to reach out for help. So
yeah.
I did reach out for help. And the first person that I talked to was my brother-in-law, who was a wonderful psychologist.
Yeah.
And he said, Ruth, he said, you're not crazy. And I thought, oh, because I thought I was going crazy.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to make the abnormal normal, that's mm. crazy making.
Right, yeah.
And so I worked through that. And unfortunately, I quickly fell in love with another man, had a rebound marriage that lasted for about 3 months,
mm.
and I fled him
yeah.
And came on home to see my parents and
yeah.
Wondered, what would they say? You know, they warned me not to do it so
right.
quickly,
yeah.
and this isn't going to work, but I thought I knew what was best.
Yeah.
And drove up to see him. It was a two-day drive, and just all sorts of questions. What was I going to do with my children? What was I going to do now?
Yeah.
And as I rounded the bend in my parents' driveway, my father was waiting on me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got out of the car, he wrapped his arms around me, and he said, welcome home.
Oh, that's awesome.
There
that's
was
great.
No recrimination. There was no blame. There was no shame. It was just total love. And that was such a grace for me, Joyce. It changed my life.
So you mean he actually responded the way God would?
That's right, exactly. Not that he always did, because he's not God. I know some people might argue with me about that. But that wasn't the end of it. I then had to build my life, and that was difficult. And I married again. I married a very fine gentleman that I was crazy about, and it ended up that our families had known each other. And but I began to speak and write and do what I felt God had called me to do, and he became very threatened and divorced me. So here I was again, and I thought, what am I doing here? And I was so embarrassed and so ashamed and so hurt. But I picked up and went on, and then another man showed up, and he started showing me attention, and I thought, well, you know, he was a pastor, and he was a counselor, and we'd known my family for a long time, and I thought, well, this looks like it would be work, and he can minister with me.
Yeah.
And so we married, and it wasn't long before I realized this was not, he was using me. I mean, hook, line, and sinker, had a terrible accident. He had a terrible accident, and while he was in the hospital, I found out he'd spent all my money, and I was broke, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and he was incapacitated. But through that, God was so faithful. Mm-hmm. And Joyce, what it showed me that all my life I've been identified with a man. Mm-hmm. I was my father's daughter, then I was my husband's wife. And
what gave you worth.
Yes, and that I wasn't myself.
Right.
And I wasn't who I was in Christ. I wasn't taking that on. I would have told you that I'm in Christ and that Christ is my security. But that wasn't really true. And so it took a lot of, the Lord had to really peel back the edges and say, Ruth, this is who you are, and you are worth a great deal. You are value. You are cherished because you are in me. And that was an eye-opening for me.
I think it's good to bring these things out in the open, because even though the Bible says God hates divorce, he does not hate divorced people.
No.
And who would have ever thought that Billy Graham's daughter would have had those kinds of problems. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of unrealistic expectations that are put on people that are attached to other well-known people. And I know one of my children, when I asked him what was the most difficult thing for you growing up, because there were some challenges, and he really thought about it, and he said, you know, it was other people's expectations of me. Mm-hmm. He said, I got so tired of hearing, well, I wouldn't expect Joyce Meyer's son to do that. Mm-hmm. And so he went to a Christian school where I was a pastor at the church. Mm-hmm. And it's so foolish when people do that to children, because anybody's child has to have time to grow up.
That's right. That's right.
Just like anybody else does. And so you've had quite an interesting life. And so help us, how'd you overcome that? Because there's going to be people come to our conference this year where you're going to speak that are going to have some of the same kind of problems, and they're going to be very relieved to hear from you and from me, because we're people. Who would ever think that two people who had experienced what the two of us have experienced would be doing what we're doing today?
And isn't that the grace of God?
Yeah.
I mean, I would never have expected that Lord would ever do anything with my life. And my children have had definite problems. I had one daughter with an eating disorder. My son was dabbling in drugs. My other daughter had two babies out of wedlock. I mean, we were a mess. But when we were going through it, I remember telling the Lord, Lord, if you can ever use this, you're welcome to it.
Yeah.
And I never dreamed that I'd be sitting with Joyce and talking about my problems. But God is using this. And I'm very grateful that he does use us.
Yeah.
And I know for me, I was in the scripture every day. If it, just a phrase or a verse or a chapter, it doesn't have to be a long portion, but I was in scripture every day and I journaled every day. Well, I will go back every New Year's to see where I was and how, if I've progressed. And so that journaling, being in the Word every day, praying, communicating with God does not necessarily mean you have to get in a prayer closet and lay down.
No.
It means that you just are talking to God. And I do that all day long.
Right.
First thing in the morning, I'm talking to God. And I also realized that I had to have friends. We have to be in community. We can't be isolated. I had isolated myself because of people's expectations.
It was too hard. Our secrets make us sick.
Yes.
You got to get stuff out.
And we're only as sick as our secrets.
Right.
And I just realized that I had to be in a community. And that's very important for people that are going through difficult times, is to be in the community and make yourself accountable. And I know that's a bad word, but Bob Goff says that accountable doesn't mean you've got somebody looking over your shoulder ready to jump on something bad, but it means they're holding you close.
Yes, right.
And that's a much gentler way of saying
right.
it.
Yeah.
And so I need people to hold me close and tell me when I'm wrong.
And a lot of times when people are hurting, there's a tendency to put up walls and to
definitely.
Withdraw and to want to keep all this stuff to yourself.
That's right.
And part of that is our problem, but part of it is also the way the Christian community responds to Christians that are having difficulty doing what we think we're supposed to do all the time. And I love, and I'm sure you do too, 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 31. That God uses the weak and the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And so there's nobody that's unusable for God. He can use anybody to help other people. And so instead of wasting our pain, we need to let God use that pain to bring glory to Himself and also to help other people.
Well, and I love the title of one of your books, God's Not Mad at You.
Yeah.
And you know, so often people think that He's standing up there like this,
right,
just ready to find something wrong in us. And He's not. He loves us.
Yeah.
He rejoices over us. He smiles at us. And that was a big thing for me to learn.
Yeah, it was huge for me too, because my father was always mad. I mean, you never really knew what about. He was just an unhappy, very troubled man, and of course abused me sexually and would beat my mother up on a regular basis. It was just a nightmare. And so he was always mad, and you could do one thing one day and it would be fine, and you could do the exact same thing the next day, and depending on his mood, you might get in trouble for it that day.
Unpredictable.
So I really had a hard time with that feeling like that God was mad at me every time I didn't behave perfectly. And one of the reasons why I wrote that book is because I was in a conference one night and I said, I have some good news for you. God's not mad at you. And people just responded. They were just, oh, man, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And I just wonder how many people there are that walk around feeling like God's mad at them because they got a divorce. God's mad at them because they made a mistake. God's mad at them because of this, that, or something else. And, you know, it's not an invitation to just keep living in a dumb way and keep doing the same thing over and over. But if we are willing to learn from our mistakes and continue to go forward, God never rejects us.
No, He never does. And that's so freeing to know that He welcomes us with open arms.
Yeah.
And just wants it, and He hurts with us.
Yes.
When we're hurting, He's hurting with us.
Yeah.
He's not blaming us. He's hurting with us, and He cries with us. And I just think it's important for us to understand that God loves us that much.
That's right.
Well, He loved us so much He died for us.
Yes, absolutely. While we were still sinners.
That's right. That's right. We didn't have to clean up our
act. That's the important part for people to realize. While we were still sinners, He died for us. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back after this.
All right, I need to hear you, ladies. We found out that we're women of God. We have courage. Oh, yeah. It ain't over. No matter what you're going through, it ain't over. God's gonna work it out for you if you just believe. Trouble won't last always, it ain't over.
Well, my guest today is Ruth Graham, the daughter of Reverend Billy and Ruth Graham. And she will be one of our speakers at this year's Love Life Women's Conference, which is September 21st through the 23rd. And I really want you to make a decision to be there. You know, there's some things in life that we can put off, but I don't think this should be one of them. So today we're talking about Ruth's journey to spiritual wholeness, and I'm going to get her to tell us a little bit about maybe why she thinks it would be good for you to come. So, Ruth, we're so happy to have you as a speaker this year.
I'm excited.
I consider it an honor.
Well, and honor is mine.
You know, if people were tuned in the first part of the show, you openly told us that you have been married and divorced four times. And how wonderfully your father responded in with mercy instead of judgment.
Yes.
And I wonder how many people are watching right now that they're feeling judged, even by the Christian community, because they didn't meet other people's expectations. And so what do you think you might be sharing at the Women's Conference this year? Not that I'm going to hold you to it exactly, but that just to encourage people to come.
Well, I'll talk certainly a little bit about my story and my relationship with God and what God taught me through all that and why I thought I did all that. You know, four divorces is nothing to be proud of. I'm ashamed of it. But God doesn't hold me to that. And He sees me as a bride, you know, and I'm very grateful. But I will share that and share what God's taught me. And I want to meet the ladies. I love getting with women, and I love hearing their stories. And I'm hoping that they will come and share their stories with us.
You sure you want to meet the ladies? There may be about 25,000 of them.
Well, I can't, maybe can't meet all of them.
The but ones at work, yeah.
I really would like to meet them. I get energy from that and what their stories are. But I will share myself with them. You know, that's all I know to do. That's all I have is just me.
Being authentic is really important to you, isn't it?
Very much so.
I think that there's so much phoniness, and as you said, so many people are wearing masks. And you know, I went through a time in my life where I tried to be so many different people. I tried to be like my husband, who's very calm and laid back, and I was the total opposite. And I tried to be like my neighbor, who was real artsy and crafty and sewed and had a garden, and I didn't do any of that. And I tried to be like my pastor's wife, who was sweet and meek, and I was loud-mouthed and anything but that. And I tried so long to be so many people, trying to feel like I was okay, that I got to the point where I just didn't even know who I was. And so I had to let God take me back to the drawing board and teach me how to be what He wanted me to be, not what everybody else wanted me to be. And so when women get together like this is the only conference that we have once a year that is just for women.
It's going to be great.
There will be a few men there because they work for us or they're there for a special reason. But you get 25, 30,000 women together in one room and you got some stuff going on.
That's a lot of estrogen.
that's a lot of estrogen. And, you know, we have fun. We laugh. We cry. We've got great praise and worship. And I know that a lot of times people think they can't afford that or they don't have the time for that. But we waste so much time in our life with stuff that's just useless. And we need to invest time in things that are going to really help us. So tell me just a couple of more things before we're out of time here today that have really been challenging for you in just getting to where you want to be.
Well, my children's lives were challenging for me. My daughter's bulimia was very difficult because an eating disorder is a control thing. And she was, our family was falling apart, so that was the one thing she could control. But it's also something you can't confront. You can't go directly. So that was a very big worry. And then my son's dabbling in drugs. You know, he called me one Easter morning and said, Mom, he was on his way to Montana. He said, Mom, you know, I'm sick. I said, well, go to the hospital. He said, I don't have any money. I said, well, you know, get a credit card. I don't have a credit card. I said, well, son, go to the hospital and I'll take care of it from here. He said, Mom, you don't understand. I'm on drugs and I can't go any farther. You know, I was miles away from him. And so that I was up the rest of the night. And then my youngest daughter sat beside me and said, Mom, I think I'm pregnant. This was supposed to happen to other people, not to me, you know. And again, you can't shout that from the rooftops, but we couldn't hide it. And so we just, the Lord walked us through it. We didn't do it well. But you know, Joyce, my daughter and I now speak together at Crisis Pregnancy Center fundraisers all over the country. And it's just a blessing. It's a miracle. I also knew that she had been rejected by her dad. So she was looking for love in all the wrong places. And I understood that. And God had loved me. My father had shown me grace. I could not do anything less for my daughter. And, you know, now we speak together, and it's been a miracle of God's grace. So I would just encourage people, you know, as mothers that are going to be there, that what you're going through is not unusual, and God will see you through it, and you just have to give it to Him.
I like what you said, that what you're going through is not unusual. I really think that one of the enemy's tactics is to make us think that we're the only one. How many years during my sexual abuse did I think this is not happening to anybody else? And I just heard the other day that there's over 1 million girls in America who are victims of father-daughter incest.
Oh, dear.
1 million. Mm-hmm. And yet I thought I was the mm-hmm. only mm-hmm. one. And so I really appreciate your openness, and I think it's going to help a lot of people. So, you know, please come. Don't put it off. Register today. You know, if you make a commitment, then you're more than likely going to show up. And if you can find somebody to come with you, that's great. But even if you have to come by yourself, I remember people who have told me it was hard to just make that decision to come by myself. But I did it, and it was life-changing for me. You know, your walk with God is important enough for you to set aside 3 days to just ask Him to refresh you, revive you, heal you, whatever it is that you need in your life. And, you know, every day on our program, and I'll always do this, we offer you the Word of God, either in book, CD, or DVD. Because the Word of God is what changed my life, it's what changed Ruth's life, and it's what will change your life. And so there's nothing better to invest in financially than the Word of God. So today we're offering you the teachings from our last year's women's conference, and it's called The Path to God's Purpose. There's 8 teachings. You'll hear from different speakers, and I believe that you will really, really enjoy it. And don't forget to get your ticket today, because our early bird price is ending very soon. So you're never going to get a better deal than right now. So please come. God bless you, and have a great rest of the day.
Discover God's tailor-made destiny for your life when you order Joyce's teaching series, The Path to God's Purpose. In this special series, hear Joyce's powerful messages from the 2016 Love Life Women's Conference and hear from her special guests, John Gray, Christine Kane, and Beth Moore. Also included is a special session where Joyce, Beth, and Christine all answered personal questions from the audience. This 8 teaching CD set can be yours for a gift of $35 or more. And for your gift today of $85 or more, we'll also include a ticket to this year's Love Life Women's Conference.
So awesome to, like, worship with so many thousands of women.
The whole conference so far has been very, very inspirational.
I love that.
Yes.
I loved everything about tonight, and I look forward to the rest of the conference.
I cannot wait.
Ladies, don't miss out on this exciting offer. So contact us right now for either offer, 1-800-727-9673, or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
We all go through times when the questions in our life seem to outweigh the answers. Joyce Meyer wants to help with that. Check out her new show, Everyday Answers. Send us your questions and join us as we discover life's everyday answers together.
So the Bible is God's manual to help us navigate life. But life often gets in the way of knowing the Bible, finding the time, knowing where to begin, and discovering what this all means to you. We understand, and we'd like to help. At joycemeyer.org/study, you'll find free resources to help you get more out of the Bible, whether you're a new Christian or have been walking with Christ for years. So jump in today. The Word. It's free, it's mobile, and it's tailored for you at joycemeyer.org.
Thank you, friends and partners. Together, we're sharing the love of Christ around the world. To find out more, please contact us or visit us online at joycemeyer.org. Join us in partnership as we share the love of Christ around the globe.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.